Hello, everyone. This doesn't work. Doesn't work. Okay. Testing, testing. Hi, everyone. Hi. Hello. Happy afternoon. You guys, everyone full? Everyone ate well? Okay, awesome. Welcome. Come on in. Take a seat. There's a few seats over here, and there's like one or two here. I don't know if all of you will find a seat, but let's try.
If you can't find a seat, you're welcome to stand.
You're welcome to make new friends. There's a seat here. There's two seats here. A seat over there. Okay, so we're gonna get started. So my name is Sinait, and I'm a registered psychotherapist. I am also a mom and do a bunch of other things. And I'm so excited you guys are here because I was like partially afraid if anyone would enter this room. So you guys have made me very happy. So we're gonna start with a simple activity. Does everyone have 10 fingers? 10 fingers. Everyone show your hands. So I'm gonna ask you two questions. 10 indicates completely agree, 100%. One is like not, I don't agree at all. Okay, so everyone raise up your 10 fingers. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it to love yourself? Okay. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it for you to love others? Okay, there was a few hesitations. I saw, I don't know what this means, but there's a few people hesitating, but 10, thank you. You guys can put your hands down. So if I were to follow you around for a whole week, watch your group chats, the things you're typing, you know, on TikTok, your conversations, the way you treat your family, your colleagues, your coworkers, would I actually see that love on display? And so many of us, we're so fluent with loving ourselves, right? We're so fluent with saying things like protect your peace, guard your energy, set your boundaries, prioritize your growth. Even if we don't actually do it, we know how to say it. But generally, like, this is not a bad thing. I'm not saying go and like not love yourself, but Jesus doesn't say people will know you're my disciples by the way you love yourself. Jesus says they will know you are my disciples by the way you love one another. Okay? So we're going to do an activity. I need a volunteer, someone preferably, actually it doesn't matter, any volunteer, someone that doesn't mind putting some things on. Oh, I didn't see you. Come. What's your name?
V.
Okay, V. So V is going on a coffee date with a friend. You like coffee? Or you like matcha? She's going to get some matcha with her friend, okay? And so, but V's been through some things. Come a little closer. She's been betrayed by a friend. So she put on a jacket, okay? And then she applied for a job. She didn't get it. She was rejected, so she put on her hat. She was misunderstood by her family. So she put on some sunglasses. She felt left out because, you know, people from her youth group just stopped inviting her places. So she put on some headphones. And then she just felt like she wasn't good enough because she didn't get into the school that she wanted to get into. So she put on a scarf. Getting a little warm. So how comfortable would it be for her right now to meet up her friend for matcha? Yeah. So many of us are walking around with an armor, right? At some point, what was your name again?
V.
Some point V needed a hat because it was cold, so she put it on. At some point V wanted to look a little stylish, pull her outfit together, so she put on a jacket. At some point, it was windy outside, so V put on a scarf. It was sunny, but she put on some glasses. Thank you. So this indicates, you can have a seat. So these props indicated armor. The armor that we wear, the armor that we put on, armor that was needed at some point in our life, but somewhere along the way, we didn't need that armor anymore. But we didn't recognize that. We didn't realize that. So we're walking around this world with self-protection. And what's happening is that this armor that was meant to protect us at some point in our life is now, we're now overcorrecting, and it's impeding on our ability to connect with other people. Can anyone relate? Yeah, I 100% can. So at the end of the day, like, protection has a cost, right? And the biggest cost is our ability to be the hands and feet of Jesus, our ability to love other people, our ability to connect with other people. We can't connect with other people with all of our armor on. So what we're going to do today, I want it to be really interactive, okay? So on this wall, we have 6 different words, okay? And these words are not words to shame you. They're not identities. They're not personality traits. But these are common armors. I could have filled this whole room with different armors, but I wanted to choose ones that are really popular. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go through each one. And after I finish, I want you all to grab the markers in front of you, and you're going to indicate which armor you feel like you carry. You can put words like "it's me," "happy face," "sad face." If you don't want to use any words, you can use post-its. And just indicate which armor is like your go-to armor. So we have over here people-pleasing, which can also be called like a chameleon. You know, so people that struggle or people that lean into the people-pleasing armor really try to keep the peace, right? They're really focusing on like everyone being happy, everyone liking them, and they're willing to sacrifice a lot for that. It can look like adapting to different personalities depending on where you are. It can look like not entering a disagreement because you're like, I'd rather keep the peace. Like, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter how I feel, I'm just going to be quiet. And so it can look like saying yes when you meant to say no, right? And even like resenting people. It can look like having these invisible contracts where you do something for someone and you're expecting them to do it for you and then they don't. That often looks like people that struggle with people pleasing. Then the next one we have is the performer. I love the performer personally because the performer is usually someone that's really liked, okay? And it can look like maintaining a really put together image, not sharing when you're struggling, but always sharing your wins, feeling pressure to succeed publicly. Like, you want everyone to be like, yo, she's a winner. You know, like, he's incredibly smart. Image is everything. And it's hard sometimes to let people see your weakness when you struggle with performance. And when you think of the performer, this person really struggles with being seen, being ordinary, and being rejected for who you are. Like, the last thing you want to do is be ordinary. You want to be exceptional. It's like, let's say you want to pursue, you know, a job, you want to be a content creator, but you can't post because it needs to be a certain level. And that idea of being seen as a beginner, that idea of being seen in your shortcoming is like, makes you want to like, feels nauseous, okay? So that's probably you, the performer. And then we have the controller. I feel like that's pretty straightforward, okay? I think a lot of people in this room can identify with having the controller as an armor. And then we have the fixer. So this person is like, this armor, it makes them feel like their identity is being a problem solver, right? They want to jump in, solve people's problems, even when they didn't ask you, okay? You're probably really good at fixing people's problems, but it really, this armor, it's almost like it allows people to feel like you're needed. You know, when you're a fixer, people need you. People want you around, and that feels good, but that can be an armor. And so one thing that the fixer struggle with is really like struggling to say no when someone needs your help, feeling guilty for resting, frustration when people don't take your advice. And it protects against feeling powerless, feeling unnecessary. Then we have the hyper-independent, definitely me. This person centers independence and strength. Like, they are really trying to protect people seeing them as being needy. They want to handle things alone, minimize personal struggles, rarely ask for help. And then we have the avoider. So the avoider protects through distancing. This could be like distancing emotionally, distancing physically. When you're overwhelmed, you just be like, I'm an introvert. I don't want to tell anyone that I'm struggling. And then you come back out when you're ready. That can actually be an armor because, again, you're protecting people from seeing you. And this armor makes you feel small. So some of these armors make you feel bigger, like performer, hyper-independent, the fixer. But people like people-pleasing, avoider, it actually makes you feel smaller, right? And you guys might be like, how is that self-obsession? It is self-obsession because it's an obsession with protection. It's an obsession with believing that you are fragile and that you can't handle struggle, which is a lie. You know, just neurology, like when we think about the brain, you actually are wired for struggle and to withstand struggle. Let's get into it because there's a lot of people. I'm gonna try to give you guys some time. So what I would love for you to do is just go around the room. You can write words with the armor that identifies with you, or if you don't want to use words, you can use post-its. Let's have 5 minutes. If it's all the armor, check mark all the armors. I'm kind of nervous. Oh my gosh. But it's okay. Yeah, I know. Okay, thank you. Yeah, and then Amber asked me for a stand, and I was like, no, I don't need it. But now I'm like, oh, maybe I do. I do. You can write anything you want. You can say, like, it's me. I feel this. Okay. Just this check mark. Any thoughts? Okay. Yeah. Maybe I should say that again. Thank you. So just to reiterate, you can write anything you want, sad face, a word, that's me, anything that comes to mind. Oh, just in general.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Or, okay, nice. Okay, we have 2 more minutes. And maybe you relate to all of them. That's okay. No judgment here.
I think there's a season for each one, though.
Okay. Yeah. And I think certain personalities draw to certain armors. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. So just as everyone slowly puts their last words and has a seat, I just want to be clear, like some of these are classic defense mechanisms, but others are protective patterns, okay? Certain personalities will lean into certain armors, but it's important that you don't shame yourself if you're like, yo, this is all me, I can't believe how much I function in this way. This is a gift. It's a gift for us to recognize some of our patterns and to know our weaknesses. You know, it's really important that we know our weaknesses as well. So the question is not about what I do, but more so, why do you do it? You know, why do you lean into people pleasing? Is it because you love helping people? You love other people being happy? That just brings you so much joy? Or is it because the idea of someone disliking you is just crushing? So as we look up on this, on these different words, does anyone notice a pattern? Does anyone notice a popular item? Yes? Pardon? Yeah, thank you. I notice people-pleasing has a lot of words. Seems like a popular one. And we also have hyper-independent. Okay. So when protection becomes our main focus, we center ourselves. We start to build systems, patterns. We start building identities around protecting our image, protecting our comfort, protecting our peace, and protecting our feelings. That might not sound like self-obsession, but it actually is, because you're centering yourself, even if it sounds like you're doing a good thing. You know what I mean? So when we look at scripture tells a very different story when it comes to protection. You know, the Bible says, the Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our shield. He covers us under his wings, that he's faithful to us, to defend us, that he orders his angels around us, and that he watches over our coming and our going. So the invitation is not for us not to have a protector, but what does that look like to trust God as your protector, to trust God as your defender? And it's interesting because, you know, as a therapist, like, of course, I do a lot of work with people where I'm empowering them to build their capacity, right? To build their ability to withstand regular challenges in life. But a lot of times we look at our mental health like it's this fragile egg that if we do that thing, we enter that conflict, we engage in that activity, it's going to be so detrimental to us. But that is not always true. There are seasons where our mental health is going to be more fragile, right? You lose someone that you love. Of course, grief is going to cause some fragility there. But this idea that we are just fragile is not true. And even when we are fragile, God is our protector. Okay, so I want to leave you guys with that. And so it's interesting because I don't want you guys all just take your armor off. I don't want you to go out in this world and just do whatever you want with that naivety and just, you know, just not using wisdom. But when we take our armor off, we have to put something better on. And I don't think we focus a lot on that transition. And I want to speak a little bit to that, because the way our brains work is that our brains are not proactive, they're reactive. Can everyone say that? Our brains are not proactive, they're reactive. And so when you have a certain experience, you know, let's say you made a new friend and you got rejected, to make a new friend after that is going to be a little bit more challenging. When you've witnessed someone getting heartbroken over and over and over, even though you did not experience that, your brain can also register that as your experience. And so then the idea of dating, the idea of meeting something new, can feel really scary, because your brain is wired to protect you, right? And that is great. That's a beautiful way that God has designed us. But in this age of like over information and consuming so much, sometimes the brain gets confused. It's like, did someone online experience that, or did you experience that? I'm not sure. So let's just protect. Let's just remain in our shell. Let's just use our armor to keep us safe. And so, but the thing is, when we avoid conflict, when we avoid relational risk, when we avoid things that our brain is saying is dangerous, but it's not dangerous anymore. We are actually working against the way that God has designed us to function, right? And so when it comes to relationships weren't meant to be built on distance and protection, especially when we look at the Bible. They were meant to be built on reconciliation, community, and love. And those are the three things that I'm going to kind of explore today. And so, number one, I truly believe that we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. And so that's directly from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18. And it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Your identity is repairers. As believers, you are designed to be repairers in this world. But what's happening is we are actively looking for ways to avoid disconnection, avoid conflict, avoid hard conversations, because we think, again, we're trying to keep ourselves safe. But it's going against the design that God has for us. And so what does that look like? It looks like moving towards conflict, moving towards challenges instead of moving away. It looks like clarifying instead of assuming, and repairing instead of replacing. And so I'm not saying that you should be friends with people that have done you wrong and that are just demonstrating themselves to be horrible. But we can't always ghost people. We can't always cut people off, right? That is not reconciliation. That is not repair. You can repair with distance. You can reconcile with wisdom. Like, that is possible. And so I want you guys to ask yourself, when conflict happens, is your first instinct to reconcile or replace? Repair or avoid? Number two, community. Community is very different from friendship, right? Friendships, we choose. Friendships, we're like intentional. We meet someone, we connect, we click, we have some things in common. You're like, you're my friend, you're my chosen family. But community is oftentimes created by God, right? It's like the neighborhoods you live in is your community. The schools you've gone to is your community. The church that you go to is your community. When you think about the disciples, they were in community. They didn't choose who to be their fellow disciples. We don't know the drama that happened in between them and who didn't like who, right? But God called them to be in community with each other, because in community, formation happens. And when we talk about spiritual formation happens in life and everything that we do. And a lot of that spiritual formation happens in community. But when we avoid community, we're not able to really like develop that bandwidth for a lot of the skills and a lot of the ways that God wants to form in us, like repair. Let me slow down, I'm talking so fast. But one thing that's, when I was thinking about this idea, one concept that came to me was parasocial relationships. Are you guys familiar with that term? Some of you are like, yes, yes. So I think this generation has like a different challenge, and parasocial relationships, I believe, are impeding your ability to be in community. And so what is that? It's basically a one-sided relationship. It's a relationship that you have with that podcaster, that influencer that you follow, that person that doesn't know you, but you know them so well. Because what happens is it gives you a false sense of connection. It still kind of fills a need without going all the way. And so you might feel emotional comfort through this person, familiarity, you might feel inspired, even like a sense of belonging, especially if other people are also following this person. You know, everyone's like, oh, I love Beyonce, I'm part of the Beehive. That's a community, but that's a parasocial relationship, right? And so when you are in parasocial relationships, it doesn't require conflict, doesn't require accountability, emotional exposure, and repair after misunderstanding. And so there's no spiritual formation happening if those things are not happening, okay? And so the brain registers relationships without relational risks. And so how many people in here feel like they've been harmed in relationships? Like they've been done wrong, family, friends? Okay, a couple of us. And how many people want to heal from that? Yeah, yeah. So we can't heal relational wounds outside of a relationship. Just can't happen. That's just not how the brain works. If you, it's like your brain has a belief people do me wrong, people are not safe, so I'm going to do A, B, C, D, whatever that might be. But until you actually do and experience a new thing, your brain can't create a new belief. It just cannot. And so that's why relational risk is so important when it comes to relational healing and our overall spiritual formation. So the last one that we're going to go to is love, right? We all know that we need love in order to be in healthy relationships. We know that we need love in order to, you know, as followers of Jesus. And one scripture that I want to highlight is Philippians 2:3-4. And it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And so love is not emotional agreement. It's not constant validation. Love is not comfortable. Love is not comfortable. Love has a cost, guys. But you can't love other people without recognizing the love that God has for you. And Pastor Sharon talked about it so great today, which works so well for this presentation as well. And many of us don't really realize the depth that God has, the depth of love that God has for us. And so we work so hard to love other people from the reservoir that we have. But if your reservoir is empty, if you've been wronged, backstabbed, if you live in isolation, if you constantly avoid conflict, it's going to be really hard for you to even, it's a demonstration of like the lack of reservoir that you have. And so we get filled when we spend time with Jesus, like when we're actually with Jesus and we allow God to bask and pour into us his love, only then are we able to love other people from the love of God. But many times, like our armors can act as like false reservoirs, right? When we people please, it feels good, right? How many people like enjoy when other people like them? Raise your hands. No, I mean, I love it, right? It feels so good when people like you. And that can fill up, that can feel like it's filling up your reservoir, right? It can feel like, okay, like this feels good. I can love other people now. But what if people don't like you anymore? What are you going to pull at to demonstrate the love of God? And so, as we know, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not easily offended. It is not self-seeking. And so sometimes what we call self-care is actually self-centering, self-obsession, and not in like a really in a intentionally toxic way, but that obsession of protection can come across as selfish, as self-centeredness. And so let's be clear, like Christian love is not self-abandonment. I don't want you guys to just abandon yourselves and be like, I'm just, woe is me, I don't matter, I'm gonna love everyone else. It's like, no, at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, what are we centering? Are we centering other people's feelings? Are we centering how other people see me? Am I centering how other people see me as competent? Am I centering my ability to fix, my ability to do, my ability to be that Martha in the kitchen and do all the things? Am I centering my ability to be independent, to be self-sufficient? And we see, when we see the hyper-independent one, we see a lot of people commenting on that too, because it's really a reflection of our culture as well. In our hyper-independent culture in Canada, it's like, get praised and we get the glory for being self-sufficient, for being able to get things done. It's like, yo, you did that. Congratulations. You graduate school, people are like, you did that. And it feels good. But that is not the design that God intended for us, right? God wants the glory. God wants the praise. God wants to be centered. He wants to be glorified when you reach those accomplishments, when you get things done. But it goes against the world's vision and the world's desire or the world's culture that we live in right now. And then we have avoider, which is classic, right? It's like, the brain wants to protect. The brain wants to have this idea that you're fragile and you can't withstand the storm. And so it centers your fragility. It centers your brokenness. It centers this idea where I got trauma. I can't handle it. It's beyond my capacity. It's still centering something that is not Christ. And we need to understand that there are going to be times where we don't have the capacity. There are going to be times where it feels like we have nothing left. But if I center that, where would that take me? And that's the thing about the enemy. When we think about these armors as well, is that even though some of them could be rooted in your personality, in your natural giftings, the enemy can use anything to just infiltrate and to use these things to decenter God, to decenter who he is, and to center your shortcomings, to center your wounds, to center your traumas. So, what I would love for us right now is for you guys to kind of break out in your groups. Okay, so we talked about the three things: reconciliation, community, and love. And that this is the design that God has for us when we function in community. And so I would love for you guys to break out and to explore what do you think is the easiest thing for you to work on, and what would be the most challenging one from those three. Okay, any questions? No? I mean in your tables, yeah. And you can also share what you wrote there as well, if you'd like. Thank you. I should, because I'm like done. I kind of went through it fast.
I was like, you did go through it fast.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I was gonna say, if you do question and answer at the end, just make sure that when people ask questions, repeat it so the mic can pick it up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Obviously, if people are fired, they're not going to care. So.
Yeah, I went through it really fast. Oh my goodness. I've never done this before.
It's all good. Well, okay. Then you know that you can
slow down.
Breathe and slow.
When you break it down to yourself, it's like you're battling your own self.
Great. New papers for the next session.
Okay.
So that we just, once it's done, we just stick, right?
Yeah. Okay. Hi, do you want to join a group? Maybe you want to do like a standing group? Maybe this one. I just brought someone to join you guys. Oh, good idea.
Question.
Yes.
Chris got a clarification on the idea of love.
Yeah, here. Oh,
so it's
that's
like
a good.
To give love or like to receive love?
I would say to love others.
To love others?
Yeah, but also to allow God and also to embrace God's love. Yeah.
Okay.
But to love others, like we're called to love others more than ourselves.
Oh,
right?
Okay. How would you rank these three?
For me personally, what's easier and what's harder for me? I think love is the hardest for me. Yeah, for me. Yeah.
You could love knowing you might not get it back.
And community is the easiest. And then reconciliation. Yeah.
That's what most of us said, I think.
Oh, yeah? Love's the hardest?
Which one?
You guys said love is the hardest?
A lot of us put community easiest, and then it was split flop for a few of us. Okay.
Wow. Well, thanks for asking.
Thanks for
Yeah, no problem. I went really fast, but.
It's good. We have time to go.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So it's easier for me, like with this relation, to put down and know who, what I contribute to get to that point. You know? Like, if that's what I
Nice. Oh, wow. Thank you. I'm trying to think of, I might leave another question with them.
However you want to leave your session.
Thank you. Yes, hands and feet.
You guys can rephrase it better, but when we're talking about reconciliation, and yeah. You mentioned about, like, you know, repairing relationships with distance, at what point is there, like, any type of relationship where it's like it's not in your best interest to try and reconcile? Like, is there ever a point where that's the case, like, where it will hurt you more? Or, like, because obviously we want to be forgiving and loving to others, but it's like, at a certain point, is there a point of no return where it's like, this is not salvageable and this is going to hurt you even more?
Yeah.
I just wanted to add that, and not in like the very outward way where it's like you're actually being abused and not in that way, in just like the subtle ways that you can tell and it's still there and it's building up.
Yeah.
How do you tell, this is what she said.
And I should have made it more clear, but reconciliation to me in the most basic level is forgiveness. That's what it is. It's forgiveness and accepting forgiveness. And then it goes up from there about exploring a relationship, expanding. But forgiveness is the most basic.
So the baseline
is forgiveness. Yeah. Sometimes forgiveness, maybe you don't even have an opportunity to be like, I forgive you, or do you forgive me? Maybe there's not even any communication there. But even asking God for forgiveness, like that confession, is like the most basic. Yeah.
So if nothing builds from that,
that's okay.
It's okay. It's just the principle of like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that makes sense because, like, I think already, even if you think about it, just like whatever, like, you understand that that's forgiving someone is setting yourself free. So just from that point on, I did get that. Then I think I was in a weird spot where it's like, first of all, I've never really had a falling out. But then the first time it was to happen, it's like in church, and it's like,
out of all places.
Like, okay, but now you're in my church, and there's no way, like, you're in a youth group and all that, then I'm not talking to you. And I know I did, like, for a period of time, I did take a step back.
Yeah.
But I think I was more so just doing important stuff.
Yeah.
I was trying to be subtle about it, because it's like, oh, but Jesus says,
yeah,
or whatever, and it's like, okay, but like, and then the avoidance, and I'm like, okay, so what are we doing here? So I think I just like thrusted myself back in.
Yeah.
But you can still almost feel not like a tension, but it's like, I don't really know if you wish me well. It looks like that on the surface, but given, I think I have I'm very intuitive or something, like I'm able to really catch like
discern,
small things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wait, am I just getting in my head, or like, and then it's like, but I need to love people, and or am I just holding grudges? What is it?
Yeah.
I still feel that underneath, and it's like,
and what does it look like to love from a distance? Right. I think that's also possible.
And the weird part too over there, what is that? Like? The weird part is like, where is that distance? Because like, I'm gonna see you at my youth group. I'm gonna see you at church. I'm gonna see you when you're serving or when I'm serving. I'm gonna see you. The worst part is now, like, they also, they entangle themselves in my life, and that was part of it.
Yeah.
And so now, with friends, with mutual friends, and also where I live.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
So they're like part of your community.
Yeah. I was just gonna say that too. Like, even at school, like, you know, falling out with someone, or you have conflict with someone, but your friends of friends, or they're in the same friend group as you, or you're doing extracurriculars together, you can't really like forgive for distance.
Yeah.
So it's like really difficult. I find anyways.
Yeah.
Like,
and I find sometimes it's a dance. Like sometimes you don't know. Like you're gonna try different things. Okay, does this work? Does that work?
But I also feel like it's weird to pretend like nothing happened.
Yeah, and I don't think you should do that either, because I think then that's like almost disappointing.
Yeah.
That's avoidance, definitely.
Yeah, definitely not pretending like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because then you're also like abandoning yourself, right? Like, it's like, you know, you're worthy in the eyes of God. And so if I'm minimizing my pain and my hurt, I'm still elevating the other person. I'm still centering the other person.
True.
You know? And like, you're valuable. It's like, God, Jesus was suffering when you were suffering too. So to ignore that is, it's not right. But then sometimes if it's like a small thing, maybe it's like it's not worth bringing up.
Yeah.
But then you're like, I know how to relate to you because of what you just did.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
Thank you
so much.
No problem.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard being a young adult, because it's like you're just it's like a lot of new things that you're experiencing, and it's like the foundation of, you know, like your life.
True.
Yeah, and it's just inevitably you're gonna make mistakes. Like. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for asking. Okay, one more minute and then we'll go to our last discussion. Okay, so yeah, the next one I'll slow down and I'll say everything. I think I skipped some things too.
There you go, there's no need to skip.
This has never happened in my entire life.
Of course, isn't that great? You get to do it twice.
Oh, like I always don't have enough time. I know. I push her in with some people, but
I know. It's hard.
Yeah.
What was the question that you asked? Because I was so sorry.
For them to talk about what out of love, community, and reconciliation, what is like the easiest for you to practice, and what would be the most challenging? Okay.
Perfect. I wouldn't be here if it didn't break. I probably wouldn't be here if it didn't break. I'm still in my own way.
I don't care if she was sad. It was pregnant and I didn't want to throw it away. I want to fix it.
Okay, thank you all. I love the discussions. I just want to clarify, when it comes to reconciliation doesn't always mean re-entering the relationship. In the most basic sense, reconciliation is forgiveness, right? Extending forgiveness, also asking for forgiveness so that we are reconciled with God. But we can't be reconciled with God if we are not reconciled with our brother and sister. So that's just wanted to make that clear. So what we're going to do now is we are going to live out James 5:6, which says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Don't worry, you don't have to like lay out all your sins that you've done this week. But what we're going to do in our tables or in our groups is that we are going to confess our armor. We're going to confess ways that we have overfunctioned, where we have overcorrected, where we've been our own mini God, ways in which that we have overestimated our abilities, our skills, our gifts, our strengths, and ways in which we have been bigger and we made God smaller through the armor that we wear and that we carry. And so what I would love for you to do in your groups is you want to share all the armor you have, one armor, just, you know, name it. You can go into as much detail or as little detail as you want. Actually, not too much detail because it's not a therapy session, so just keep it short. I don't want people crying. And so share with the people at your table your go-to armor, and that's confession. And then choose one person in your table to pray over that. You know, it can be something as simple as, you know, God, we confess the ways that people-pleasing, controlling, and being an avoider has come in the way and build these fortresses to protect us, and ask Jesus to replace that, you know, more of him and less of you. And so you guys can do that now. And if you have any questions or you want me to come join, just let me know. If no one wants to pray, I'm happy to step into any group and pray over you guys, okay? Thank you. Hi.
Yeah. I'm
Brayden, nice to meet you.
What's your name again?
Sinight.
What is it?
Sinight.
Sinight. I just want a clarification. I'm struggling with the wording, with the reconciliation piece.
Yeah.
I think it's like different from forgiveness. I don't know that I really agree that, like, I guess the way I look at it is like, if I'm in a relationship, the person cheats on me, I think I can forgive the person without going back to that relationship.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so when I meant forgiving,
reconciliation with the person was like,
yeah, that's why I'm like, I have to clarify. It's just like the basic sense is like, you can forgive the person,
yeah,
but you don't even have to talk to them.
Okay.
You can even be like, God, I forgive them for cheating on me.
Got it.
Okay. And that's reconciliation. But I know, like, I feel like the way we use reconciliation in regular English language, it means coming back, you know, reconciling.
Yeah.
But I see it as just the basic of like, forgiveness, even from a distance, so we can be reconciled with God. Like, you know, the verse that says, like, you know, before you have to reconcile with your brother and sister, or forgive your brother and sister before you kind of come before God, in that sense.
Okay.
But I think it's the language, you're right, the language is a little bit.
It's tough, like, I know, because I lead a young adult group, and so with new Christians, I find that if we aren't, like, so clear on the difference between the two, then it's, like, cause so I went from agnostic to atheist to Christian. So I think it's more of, like, a sensitive topic for me a little bit, too. But it's more, like, I don't want to create, not that you're doing this, but I don't want to create a false, like, thing where, like, you're not honoring God unless you go back to something that's wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So how do you see the scripture of ministers being ministers of reconciliation?
Well, I think reconciliation comes more from if you see change in the person and if it's a healthy, like, relationship. Like, I guess I interpret reconciliation as, like, having you in my life. I think that's a separate thing. Like, I can forgive you and wish you well.
Yeah.
And, like, love you as a brother and sister in Christ without having a relationship.
Yeah.
I guess for me, reconciliation.
Yeah, so I guess you're right. So maybe how I should have clarified it was that, yes, we're ministers of reconciliation, but it doesn't mean that we're called to reconcile everything. It doesn't mean we're called to repair everything. It's like almost like we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in terms of what are we called to reconcile, what are we called to repair, and kind of use wisdom. You're right. Yeah, I know that was actually a good catch. Yeah.
No, I just wanted to clarify for me because I'm like, I'm like, I don't know if I appreciate that. I'm just the kind of person where I can't, like, I have to ask.
Yeah, no, and I'm not a theologian, right? But no, it sounds like you do have, there's something there when it comes to words and scriptures and understanding.
It's very ADHD thing, for sure. I just soak up and pull it down.
But I think even in ADHD, there's strengths, right? Like,
because that's what they, like, so we talked about all three of your points. So one of the questions I said to them was, like, so what is love? Because a discussion in my small group has all the time, is love more truth or more grace? Because I think it's more truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. So, like, my grandfather's Christian. He's a very liberal Christian. So he's more like, we should talk about what it feels good. So I said to him, all right, so a 13-year-old boy in the church comes up to you and says, I feel that God has a purpose for me. I have a value. I should kill myself. Are you going to tell him to do what feels good to you? Because that's loving. I think the loving thing to say is your truth is a lie. And there's an objective truth that God will value in your life. He has a purpose for you. He loves you. And I love you enough to tell you that your truth isn't true. It's an objective truth.
But what if love is both? I think it is. Yeah.
I think it's grace and truth.
Yeah, because what if that 13-year-old couldn't handle that, right? Yeah. And what if that they needed the grace? They needed to be like, well, I'm gonna display God's love to you. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna keep you safe.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm gonna reflect the love of God.
Yeah, I think it's more like a lot of people believe that you can't have grace and truth. And so, like, I think you can speak truth but have grace also.
Yeah, but so, I don't think everyone can handle truth, right?
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah. So I guess my question would be, what would you tell that boy? Because, like, there's people that would say that the graceful thing is to not tell him God loves you, so don't tell yourself. Right? To me,
I think it's maybe displaying the love of God. What would that look like for you to be the hands and feet of Jesus, for you to be loving towards that 13-year-old?
That's like, it's an ongoing conversation.
Like, how can you be a witness?
What is love?
Because
I do think it's both. Like, I'm not saying we don't have grace.
Okay.
I do think you shouldn't sacrifice truth either.
Yeah.
Right? I always go to, I forget what it is, in Matthew when Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. The context of that verse is what he's really saying is, like, I'm not willing to not tell you guys the truth at the risk of hurting your feelings.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to speak. I'm not trying to affect you. And that's the result. That comes from truth.
Yeah.
And that's the result.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know. It's hard for me. Yeah. It's like, I can do it like all day.
But this is probably why you're a young adult leader, because these are the conversations and the questions that young adults have, right? And I think even for you to be able to give them the space to wrestle without knowing, I think that invites a vulnerability. Like, it's like, I can come to Brayden. I come to Brayden with my questions, and even if he doesn't have the question, I have space where I can wrestle it, and he will meet me with grace. He will meet me with love. And that's not going to threaten my relationship with Brayden.
This one's more of a question than anything else.
Yeah.
When do you think, because with the community piece, I agree with everything that was said. My question would be, when would you feel like community turns into friendship? Because a lot of my close friendships today started out with more of a small.
Yeah.
So I was just curious. I don't have anything.
Yeah, like, I think that's natural.
When would you say it shifts? Like, at what point does it go from, it's a community group that
I think when it's, like, one-on-one.
Okay.
Like, sure, that one-on-one, like.
Okay. So when those connections are developed more personally.
Yeah. Okay. I would say so. Yeah. So one-on-one, whereas if you're trying to foster that one-on-one relationship, get to know each other more personally, more in depth. There's, like, this desire to be with each other and, like, the interaction with this company. Yeah.
The other question on this is always the last one. Do you think any of these points connect with each other?
Yeah.
Because I was struggling with, I'm kind of between fixer, controller, and performer.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
But I think being a fixer and a controller sometimes, it like makes me a performer. So
yeah.
like in a way, like because I, so the control one's hard because I'm like with my girlfriend, I don't try to control our relationship.
Yeah.
But I struggle a lot with unknown in my life with God.
Mm.
So I'll try to like wrestle with control for him if I'm
mm-hmm.
I know what's going on, I'm scared.
Mm.
Right? Fixer, I'm like naturally I gotta wrestle fix all the problems.
Mm.
But sometimes I do the controller and the fixer so that I am viewed as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
So people think, oh, he's good at this.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, my
yeah,
everywhere.
I think that's possible. Think that's of course, yeah, I think that's normal.
I wasn't sure if I'm like, supposed to be.
No, I don't believe it. Like we're complex. Humans are complex beings, right? So I don't think there's any straight lines when it comes to that. Yeah.
Oh, no problem, Brayden. Take care.
Okay. Yeah, because I was just gonna end in prayer like myself, but I'm
yeah.
like, okay, I have time, and it looks like people are engaged.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine. This is what I'm supposed to do.
My name's Hannah. It's nice
hi,
to meet
Hannah.
You. I just have a question about a few of these. Because
yeah.
I've done this thing for a lot of my life where I'm like very hyper independent because I don't want to be disappointed by others. People want to help me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
But then I ask, will it make you happy if you do this for me?
Mm.
And I'm like, what is that? Like, and how can I, like, what do I replace that with? Because I feel like that just turns into people pleasing now. Because
yeah.
people, if you're happy, then you can do it. But if
yeah.
it doesn't make you happy, then.
Well, like, I think you're asking yourself, what are you trying to protect?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And what is that? What is a risk? Right? Mm. If you were to ask for help, what is a risk there?
Yeah.
And it's like, are you strong enough to withstand people disappointing you? Maybe there was a season in your life that you weren't strong enough.
Mm.
You know, maybe you were younger, you were powerless, you didn't have as much power, you didn't have as much agency. But now, this version of Hannah, she doesn't even know if she's strong enough to withstand disappointment because she's not giving people an opportunity to disappoint her. But then what if you are preventing people from, like, blessing you? Like, you're preventing their blessing, right? Like, what if God wants them to learn certain things by helping you and you're coming in the way because you're centering your fragility, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself, like, what am I protecting? Like, what is the cost? What is the risk? Do I have the ability to manage? Like, if this person will disappoint me, like, do I have the ability? Do I have the skills? Does God have the ability to pick me up if this person disappoints?
Okay, like I'm hearing that, and
how
I need
deep
to,
your relationship.
I know, like, I really need to sit with that because it's like I want other people to have the opportunity to like love on me and to like. I don't want it to be like a one-sided thing where it's like, okay, you just keep shutting me out because it's not right. But it's also like I don't want people to feel like they're being used. Like I don't want to feel like they're being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want. And it's like.
But then now you're managing. Their emotions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this has been like a really good conversation. Just like putting it out there and just like call it what it is.
Yeah.
And just
it's a lifelong journey, right?
This too. This is what we're talking
journey.
About at our table. It's
yeah.
like some of the people like married with kids and it's like this is still something that's like
mm-hmm.
a thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But it's good that you recognize it. I think that's huge. Right? You're like,
I
need
like,
this.
First of all, is this like?
And so, so one thing I would suggest for you, like a take home, is like start small. Like, let's say your friend is going to meet you, come to your house, inconvenience someone on purpose. So be like, hey, can you pick me up coffee on your way home? Wait to my house. You know, when you go to church, hey, do you have a gum? I don't know, like inconvenience people on purpose, because then what's happening is like you're expanding your capacity for disappointment. But when you just go from 0 to 100,
whoa,
that's too big. And so we're like in therapy, what we call it is like your distress tolerance levels are low when it comes to disappointment. And so you need to slowly open the window. Pray for you. Hey, can you pray for me? Like, that's vulnerable. That might inconvenience them. But like, how do you manufacture it until you actually meet someone. Yeah. That's something that's easy.
Yeah.
Asking someone for maybe not a ride, but yeah, like yeah, like small things. That like it wouldn't be a big deal if they said no, like it wouldn't disappoint you.
I like that. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. You got some free therapy
thank
right
you.
Now.
Thank you.
No problem.
Would you like to join our discussion for free?
Sure. Did you guys pray already?
Yeah, we did.
You did? Yeah. Okay, nice.
So, you are about to pray now?
I'm gonna dismiss
people if they wanna leave, okay? Hi everyone. So thank you again for coming to this workshop. You are free to leave if you would like. We're done. But if you'd like to stick around, you are also welcome to do that. Okay, thank you. Sorry.
So you mentioned that